I'm ready. Yeah. I don't know where. Oh, 5 minutes. Yeah. Okay. Hi. My name is Alexandros. I work for Mozilla. I'm a Firefox platform developer for media and WebRTC. What I'm going to show you today is all latest improvements in that area for Firefox. For my presentation, I will be based in the basic WebRTC call flow, which an intermediate server is able to perform all the signaling and allow the peers to exchange HTTP by implementing the offer-answer mechanism. When that step is completed, we have the RTP media stream flowing directly from one peer to the other. And also, in either side, ICE protocol operates in order to reveal missing information for the peer and make sure that the call will be succeed. Now, inside the browser from a JavaScript point of view, we have two basic components. One is the getUserMedia method, which gives you the local audio or video stream from the local devices, which might be your microphone, your video, your camera, yeah, or a share screen. And the RTCP peer connection objects, which perform the signaling, the ICE signaling, and implements the offer-answer mechanism, and attach the local media and fire an event when the remote media are ready for us to consume. In the image below, we have a media stream object which consists of two media stream track objects. Media stream track is the minimum media source, like the audio or video. Right now, we have the input from the microphone and the camera, and we create a media stream which represents the fluxing of the media, of the live media. The media stream passes through the RTCP peer connection object and turns into the RTP packets, which send it the other side. Those packets are turned back to the media stream, and that media stream we can use in a video element as an input, for example, in order to see, or in an audio element in order to listen, or yeah, do whatever with it. So the first feature I'm going to show you, it's capture a media stream from a canvas. Actually, media stream is a key component of the WebRTC connection. So the Web API designer came up with the idea, why don't we create a media stream from other DOM elements? So the specification was created, and the Firefox implementation of the specification include capture a media stream from the canvas. Actually, a canvas is a very flexible element. Its API is well known among developers, and there are methods to do anything you like with it. You can alter every pixel, and you can do anything with the content of the API. As we see in the image above, now we can capture a media stream coming from a canvas, and we can use this media stream to pass through the RTCP peer connection object and send it to the other side. So, okay, in this example, we don't really care about the other side, but that's the whole point. So, yeah, if we see that in practice, start here. Over here, we have a canvas, and we will create a media stream from the canvas. In the right, we have a video element which projects the data receiving by the remote RTCP peer connection object. To make it clear, right now we still have two RTCP peer connection objects, but both lie in the same page, so in the same machine. Nevertheless, they do negotiate their media, and they do get connected to each other, but it's more convenient for the demo, to avoid failures or something. So while we're updating the canvas on one side, the update are received from the other side and are projecting the video element. And also what video element has is a live stream. So if we pause and we resume, we have the latest status and the media continues flowing. This can be expanded further and works in also the other way around. Apart from creating a media stream from a canvas, we are able to pro- provide a media stream to a canvas as an input. Canvas has too many capabilities, so it can alter the input in any way the developer wants, and later it can send the second stream, the stream from the second canvas to the RTCPP connection option and send to the other side. In this case, we say that canvas is acting as a filter. And there is a little demo about it. I press the start, and this time we get the media stream from the local, from the get user media, which prompt for the user for allow permission, and that's a good thing. This is me. And in the middle, we have the filter canvas I mentioned. On the right, we have the remote side. And what we do right now is to receive that stream, and invert the colors, and use that stream to start to the other side. We can also do other funny things with the color, like change them to look, look beautiful or something. And, make it look like an old TV. And, for the real gigs, create pixel out of article. So, to be honest, this is not one of the latest additions. It exists there from release 43, which is not the latest one. But it offers great flexibility and worth a quick highlight. Also, I would like to note that this has become a great test alternative for us in order to test our fixes. For example, if we want a media stream that changes resolution, in order to test something, applying a canvas to do that, it's really easy and straightforward, and it's the most common now. So the second feature I'm going to show you is about media recorder. The media recorder lets the user record almost everything. Apart from recording audio, the brand new feature is that now we can record video also. And the API, actually in the documentation page, the APIs consist of a number of properties, method, and events, and we have enhanced all those to support the new capabilities. The most important method is the start method, which begins the recording process, and the stop method, which stops the recording process. The most important event is the data available event, which fires after the recording stops and when the data is available for us to consume. The use of media recorder is pretty straightforward. All you have to do is to call the constructor of media recorder and to provide the stream that you want to record. Optionally, you can provide some options that specify the mime time, if you want to record the audio or the video part of the stream, to specify the codecs that you would like to use, or other stuff, like the bit per second of the audio or video. Now, the recorder does not really care from where the stream comes from. So having the opportunity to capture a stream by a canvas, we can use this to record the content of a canvas and to replay it later in a video element. If we see that in practice, we have this demo here, which is used on the left, a canvas, which is pretty empty right now. And we have a video element, which will project the data from the canvas. And by pressing star, the canvas is updating for 2 seconds. And after that, the data is available for us in the video element. What I have below, it's the code. It's the intrinsic part of the code. Let's refresh the page in order to get a fresh set of objects. So we have an empty bar canvas over here. We call the capture stream method, which create the media stream from the canvas. The 15 over here is the requested frame per second. We create the recorder, and we use this stream, and we don't use any configuration because we are happy with the defaults. Very, very important to get registered for the data available event. in order to get informed when we stop the recorder and the data is available for us. Everything starts with the start button over here. So if we follow the onClick event of the start button, at the beginning we call the start capturing method. Actually, this is a method that's drawing the canvas, and we can call it in the console, and the canvas starts drawing. And after that, we start the recorder. Recorder.start. And in the background, the recording process record. Everything is shown in the canvas. What follows that in the code is that we set a timeout to stop the recorder after 2 seconds. But since we do it by hand, we don't need to call a timeout. We just stop the recorder directly. Yeah, and the data, boom, it's available for us to see and to do whatever else we like with it. A lot of work have been done in order to be able to access that data at any point, to move forward or backward, and also to replay the data. Imagine that right now I use the canvas because it's the new thing and we like it, but this can be done. This can be the stream from the remote peer, or you can use it with WebRTC to monitor your session, to use it with and to download later in a file or something. So that's about our immediate recording. Full duplex is another big change have been made lately in Firefox. Full duplex has to do with the back-end audio system, and in particular with the way that Firefox communicates with input and output devices. What we had so far was a half duplex structure of code. By the way, the term half duplex is stolen by communication when two parties can speak to each other but not simultaneously. For example, the analog transmitters you have to press the button in order to speak and acquire the channel, and later the other party can do the same thing, but they never can do it in the same time. So from a software engineering point of view, we had a similar situation. Our input, the audio input and the audio output, was given from two completely different components of the code base. And this was creating a number of issues. For the output, we had a library, which is called Qbeb, and we had implemented that for this purpose, and that was fine. For the input, though, we were using the input mechanism of WebRTC.org codebase. And that was creating a number of issues. For example, if we wanted to change the input in order to make it fit our needs, we had to patch on the top of WebRTC.org, which is a codebase that we don't know so well, like we know at least our codebase. And also, we had, in order to import that changes, we have to carry all the patches that was in the upstream at that moment. Also, when we wanted to have the input and the output together, we have to do nasty hack in our codes in order to bring it to the same place. And and that's very, very, very important. For example, for Echo Canceller. And speaking about the Canceller, we couldn't provide accurate synchronization or accurate latency, which is very important in order for a Canceller to give us quality results. In general, we were missing the optimization of having the input and the output in the same callback. So we made that decision, and we said since we have the library which does the output, we're going to enhance it in order to do the input too. The source code of libqbeb is simply a GitHub repo. You can clone it if you're interested, and you can contribute back if you see anything strange. Inside the include directory, there is the basic header of the library, the qbeb.h, which show the basic usage. In general, we try to keep it really straightforward and easy to use it. So from coding point of view, of course, you have to install the library and you have to link the library with your application. And all you have to do is to create a kube pointer and initialize it to create a kube stream param instance and provide there all the information, the audio information, like the sample rate and the channels, and provide the maximum accepted latency by your application. And after that, to create a pointer of something that we call kube stream, and initialize the string, providing all the instances above, and a callback named here data underscore cb, which declaration a little bit lower. It's over here. Inside the callback, the user can implement the desired functionality. The callback promise that will circulate and will provide a buffer n frames long, and whatever the user put inside the buffer, it will be played from the output. Please note, this is the previous situation, the half duplex situation before this happened. After that, you start the stream, you stop when you're done, and that's it. That's, you can create output in your system. After the enhancement we did, that's again the kube stream init method, and now the situation is similar but not the same. We also provide the output parameters, but we provide input parameters, and the kube data callback signature has changed, and again provide an output buffer and frame longs, but also provide a const input buffer, which the user can use and read the input in order to create the output. And that's what we were really missing. In order, we wanted that in order to create inside the callback all the echo canceller or noise canceller and to have anything synchronized and in control. Also, having our library doing speaking with the devices, we could implement other interesting things, like querying devices for information. So we could ask the device which is the main latency of yourself, and we could ask other things like volume, and we could enumerate for the devices. So we could can list the devices that are registered in the system. And also, we can register a callback in order to inform us when the device changes. For example, if I plug in my headset or something. Actually, in the test of the library, in the test suite on the library, which is inside GupeTest. Right now I have the library built already because I work on it, so it's very easy for me to execute the test. There is a test called test devices, which is called the enumerate device method, and print everything in a nice format. Okay, they are small, probably you don't see everything, but I will tell them. Right now it has found one input device, which is the built-in microphone, and one output device, which is the built-in output again. If you clone the library, build it, and run the test, you will get similar things from for your machine. In general, this is a change in the direction of sound quality. We are focused on sound quality right now. We attacking sound quality with all our forces because it's the priority. Right now for us. So, iRestart. iRestart is another big change that introduced in the last releases. iRestart plays a big part of the media negotiation. When the call is connected, either agent may send a subsequent offer. This can be done for a number of reasons. for example, because the media changed, or the network changed, or even the ICE protocol itself may choose different candidates. So the problem is what an agent can do with this subsequent offer. According to the RFC, the agent may accept any subsequent offer and create a new ICE connection, which is called ICE restart. The difference of ICE restart and the brand new connection is that the media, during the restart, the media can continue flow in the previous validated pair. So, if I restart gives you the opportunity to update the stream, but without dropping. If an agent doesn't support I restart, in order to update the session, you have to drop the session and recreate it. For those familiar with ZIP protocol, this is very similar to re-invite, which among other is used to create various telephony functionality like call transfer or cross-attention. And no doubt that ICE restart is the base for similar functionality in WebRTC. Imagine to have a WebRTC session in your desktop and to be able to transfer it into your mobile and take it with you in your car. So now, from JavaScript point of view, if we check the web API, in order to support ICE restart, we need to support a Boolean member of the RTC offer options dictionary called ICE restart. And I'm reading the description. When the value of this dictionary member is true, the generated description, which is nothing more than SDP, will have ICE credentials that are different from the current credentials. Applying the generated description will restart ICE. Those credentials are also called short-term credentials and consist of the ICE PWD and ICE UFRAG attributes of the SDP message. Those two, in order to restart ICE, those two attributes must be changed in any subsequent offer. Those two attributes are used from ICE protocol in order to perform message integrity. So if ICE restart is not supported, any subsequent offer with those values changed will reject it by the agent. And it's impossible to update the session. It's fun to see the bug that introduced that change into the system. In a minute. Yeah. One user, Patrick, but back then new to Bugzilla. I can fix that. Okay. Back then new to Bugzilla, stepped in and said, "Hi, we are for TalkBox, and we need this to support reconnecting after one of the peers networking changes, most frequently with mobile devices changing from Wi-Fi to cellular. This is a typical use case for ICE restart." So let's see it in practice. This is the latest nightly, so it's supported right now. And we get again the local media stream from the camera and the get user media method. Right now we don't have any negotiation, and we execute this negotiation and everything, and we connect with the remote peer. And now we're able, by pressing the ICE restart button, to refresh the media and as many times as we like, and we see that the port over here is changing. Yeah, so that is supported right now in latest Firefox. So, other than that, there are a number of features I cannot, explain them all and create a demo for all. So, we have landed simulcast support in the latest nightly. Simulcast is the act of simultaneously sending multiple different encoded RTP streams basically used for multi-party conference application. So it's there right now, it's enabled by default, and you can use it. A lot of work has been done lately for VP9 codec, and especially the packetization of the codec, in order to make it fit better with the specification and to make it compatible with other applications like Chrome. Media stream track cloning with different constraints. We are now able to create a new media stream track from an existing one, but with different properties. For example, if it is a video stream, different resolution, or different or other audio or video properties. And finally, we are updating our WebRTC.org code base to release our 49. Right now, we are somewhere close to 40, so we expect to be benefited from all the issues have been solved in the meantime, and from the API refactor and much more. Yeah, that's all I have created for you today. Thank you very much for watching. If you have any question, we have like 10 minutes.
Okay, so questions in the room? I have many, but...
yeah, I know. Everybody had many, you know, during the coffee or anything.
Yeah. And now, yesterday in the evening, you joined us, and then we discussed many. So many answers already answered. I'm very keen to hear about this stunting of what we are actually working. So, what is the time frame? You mentioned that. Stun and third party auths. Stun and third party authentication. So, that you have some estimation, maybe. Or
yeah, actually, there is a bug. The plan is to support OAuth by the end of the year. So it's not starting right now, but we are planning to start it at quarter four. And to support OAuth, to support the polarity or something. So yeah, you can test it. Probably you're looking forward for it.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward. And any priorities you could mention about?
As I mentioned before, the first one priority is the quality of the sound. This we are working a lot about it, and if we have something on this area, we stop everything else and we start digging on that. And other than that, we are looking a lot at the simulcast and the multi-party conference applications, and we try to support in that area. I think those two are the prior one things that we are.
Okay. We heard about the wideband audio codecs that you are supporting now, if I'm correct.
You mean that I didn't mention in
the... Yes.
It's not... I'm not sure what the status is on that, and I'm not... Okay. I didn't have enough information in order to create a nice presentation about it or some demo.
This is Randall Jessup from Mozilla. We landed 32 kilohertz support last fall, so we're now running 32 kilohertz. In a future update, we'll probably bump that up to 48 kilohertz max.
Thank you. I'm wondering this because. In our community, there is interest to low latency encoding and musician playing together and so on. So we are also interested if you have any such similar possibilities or if you want to extend your codec with such advanced things. I think more than one is the NREN working on such things. I know that Cessnet and also GAR from Italy is working. So if we could somehow cooperate or compare these things together, then it would be also nice. And I would like to ask you about VP9. So VP9 is arrived. So
yeah, VP9 actually is landed right now. Yeah. The code is there. But we need some more time for testing and for feedback from the developers. We were not confident yet, and we implement fixes and we add code on that. And we have it, you know, we don't have it enabled by default right now. And we're expecting some more feedback in order to enable the query default. But most of it is already landed, and it is inside the Firefox.
Okay. This is Mayor. Just to add to what Alex said, we have all the pieces of VP9 actually in and behind a flag, behind a pref. And what we would really love is if folks who want VP9, developers who want VP9, if you could flip that flag and help us test and give us feedback. How's it working for you? Firefox to Firefox as well as Firefox to Chrome. That would be terrific. And report bugs. It's one of these things where if we can actually get enough people testing, this is something we could enable in the next release in nightly. And one of the big questions that we're asking ourselves is when to prefer VP9 over VP8. So folks have information there and opinions, especially opinions based on data. We'd love to hear it.
Activate the flag for VP9 because I'll test that for you.
Did you?
I'm just looking for it.
It's in about config.
Yeah, just go into about colon config and type VP9 into the search box. You'll see it.
Yeah, it's over there.
Question. You are not yet implemented the Stan authentication, if I'm correct. Authenticating Stan. Is it in your roadmap, or do you plan to extend Firefox with this, or it is not yet, or you don't want to implement this?
I can take that one. We actually do support username password. We do not do OAuth yet. And as Alex already said, you know, we do have OAuth on our roadmap for end of year. And patches are welcome. If we don't get patches, we will land patches ourselves by end of year.
According to my experience, is Stan internal authentication with username password works perfectly. But with Stan, I see in the code in my presentation that I see a comment that it is not yet there and it is a to do. So
it could be a bug in the comment. we do support username password. If we don't, please file a bug or come find us on IRC. Alex Randall and I were always hanging out there, and we're happy to help you in real time.
Thank you.
We definitely support it.
Excellent.
Can't find it.
Well, I'll help you.
I'll come later to get you show.
Okay, so many thanks, and I'm very happy that you could be here today and answer to your questions and all your help during preparing this meeting and testing. So I highly appreciated that you are here and could join to us. And